This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to ask, well, what might have been? Was it foreordained somehow that Joe Biden would see whatever popularity he had built up in a presidential campaign that he won, after all? See that popularity evaporate, decline, drain away? Or was it the result of a deliberate choice by President Biden to cater to and to cave in to the left wing, the progressive activist left wing of his party? That's a question that's raised in a provocative piece in National Journal that was written by Josh Krauschauer. And, John, welcome back to the show. Josh, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hi. Be back on the show.
Well, thank you. And his piece, which is posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com, is called How Biden Undermined His Party's Political Future. And it is fascinating to think about the sort of alternate reality that you posit at the beginning of your piece. You talk about things that Biden might have done differently that might have produced a very different trajectory for his administration, for example.
Yeah, I mean, the premise of the piece is that Biden had he had a fork in the road upon becoming president. He could have lived up to his inaugural promise and worked with Republicans, governed as a moderate, not tried to do anything too ambitious, and see where that took him, or do what he did, which was passing a $1.9 trillion emergency stimulus when he probably could have had bipartisan support for some stimulus that was much smaller than that. He could have maintained some troop presence in Afghanistan, avoiding the awful outcome, the awful images we saw as part of that hasty withdrawal in a country we were in for so long post 9/11. He could have tried to pass an infrastructure bill with no strings attached and not hold his own legislation hostage to a very expensive social spending plan costing trillions of dollars. And, you know, the other side of that coin is that it's not like the Republicans have really done a whole lot to improve their image, to improve their brand. They've struggled to recruit good Senate candidates. They've lost out in redistricting in many, many states against all odds. And, you know, I pose this alternative history that if Biden decided to take the other fork in the road, govern more as a moderate, be a little more cautious, he probably could imagine himself holding on to the Senate, maybe holding on to the small House majority, maybe even gaining a Senate seat or two and marginalizing Joe Manchin and actually being able to do more, build back better, if you will, when it comes to his own political power. But he got greedy. He believed his own hype. And he's now looking, because of his own decision, his own situation, he's looking at a possibility of a very big Republican landslide.
And part of what would be driving that landslide is something that people simply did not consider to be a subject during the election campaign, certainly not before Biden was inaugurated, which is inflation. I mean, I've just been reading polling that shows that people are more worried about inflation than they are about the war in Ukraine. And that's even with all this coverage now about Putin potentially using nuclear weapons. People say what really keeps them up at night is the rising cost of everything. Has Biden addressed that effectively?
Well, at this point, I don't know if he has a whole lot of options on how to constrain inflation other than empowering the Fed to raise interest rates and to maybe even, you know, withhold some of the growth in order to have a longer term, more constructive economic situation. But keep in mind, one of his earliest decisions was going for broke on spending. trying to maximize the scope of the emergency stimulus, even when Larry Summers, Obama's well-regarded former Treasury Secretary, was saying, look, this could cause inflation. This could accelerate inflation. But almost everyone to a T in the White House said, that's sour grapes. We're not going to listen to any dissent. We're going to go big or go home. And I think it's very reasonable that if that $1.9 trillion spending was curtailed or lessened significantly, we might not be seeing the degree of inflation that's causing Biden so many political problems today. We could probably be seeing some inflation, but not nearly to the extent what we're seeing right now.
So if Joe is that Republicans continue to have some bad luck, at least in the last little while. Don Young died, the longtime congressman. I think he'd been there since the earth cooled. Then it didn't. It really did cool in Alaska, which is where he's from. You think that it's a good look for the Republicans nationally if Sarah Palin goes through with what she's announced? She says if she's called to serve as a replacement for Don Young, as Alaska's only member of the House, she would do it. Do you think that would help the Republican cause in the upcoming election?
Yeah, well, that would be a very interesting campaign. I'd probably have to go to Alaska to cover it. but you know, Alaska's a pretty Republican state.
Yeah.
She'd have to deal with a primary. They have an interesting system in Alaska where you have a ranked choice ballot, so yeah, she wouldn't be an automatic successor, but you know, that would make things more interesting than it otherwise would be in Alaska. But I think that seat is going to be Republican, no matter who ends up running.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this always happens. And for instance, Eric Reitens, the front runner up till now, former governor of Missouri, who had been driven out of office, had to resign because of a really horrific sex scandal, and now his ex-wife is back with charges of spousal abuse and child abuse and suicidal ideation and brandishing guns. It's not a good look for the Republican nominee for Senate. Senator Hawley, I thought that was a good soundbite that he offered. He said that somebody who hits women and children doesn't belong in the Senate. He belongs in handcuffs.
Yeah, this is directly related to what I write about in my column, which is that it's not like Republicans have shown and showed how politically powerful they are. They've embarrassed themselves in a lot of these primaries. By the way, there was a fight between two leading Ohio Republican Senate candidates this past weekend, near fight at a debate.
Gibbons and Mandel.
Gibbons and Mandel. It's the two front runners in that race that literally looked like, you know, it looked like a WWE match between two people who just couldn't get their anger under control. You have in Georgia, the likely Senate nominee in Georgia has also a lot of serious domestic abuse allegations, and Herschel Walker in his background. Now, this is not, in my view, a particularly strong candidate in a state that Republicans should be doing well in. This is what I'm talking about. I think Republicans could have, if the environment was a little bit better, if Biden's approval rating was, you know, at 48% instead of 41%, I think it's very realistic he could have gained a Senate seat or two, given how weak some of the Republican candidates are in these important races. But when they're in the low 40s, when they're as bad as they are for Biden, even a bad candidate can win in a wave election year. So this is Biden's own fault. He decided to go for broke. He decided to appease progressives, and now he's going to be suffering, in all likelihood, down ballot, and then maybe his party won't have control of Congress for some time.
Wow. Can you hang on for a few minutes more? Because what I would like to get into is why. I mean, Joe Biden won the nomination by beating a bunch of candidates who claimed to be and certainly put themselves forward as more progressive. So given the fact that he won the nomination by beating these folks, why did he all of a sudden decide to go over to their side of things? Because it's not that many members of Congress who are on this extreme left of the Democratic Party. We'll continue the conversation with Josh Kroshauer of the National Journal coming up on the MedVet Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Michael Medved show, one of the things that people said after September 11th was, this changes everything. It changes everything. All of a sudden, out of a clear blue September sky, there are a bunch of planes that knock down skyscrapers and 3,000 people are killed. It was a shock to the system, and of course, not everything was permanently changed, but it certainly had a very big impact on the political future of the Bush administration and the Republican Party. And a lot of people, speaking with Josh Krauschauer, who is the senior national political columnist for the National Journal Daily, and he's been with Atlantic Media in 2010, including being a managing editor for politics at National Journal and executive editor and editor-in-chief at The Hotline, which I find kind of indispensable. And we're just talking about the Biden administration, and what we haven't really talked about is the impact on politics of the war in Ukraine. And do you feel that either party has a particular exposure or a particular opportunity, given the fact that the American people seem to be rallying so strongly to the idea of supporting President Zelensky and the Ukrainian cause?
Yeah, Mike, I think that there are certain types of Republicans, a very small minority of them, but folks that have indulged some of these right-wing, you know, anti-Putin views, Madison Cawthorn, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, a candidate like J.D. Vance in Ohio who, you know, hasn't certainly been, like, pro-Putin, but has wondered why we haven't and should have anything to do with Ukraine when he's been interviewed on Tucker Carlson's show. That NatCon, National Conservative Wing of the party, has been marginalized in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And if anything, it's empowered the center, the moderates in both parties, the extremes. Even on the left, you have these squad members who have alliances with the Democratic Socialists of America that have condemned America for helping out Ukraine or sending military aid overseas. You're not hearing a lot from AOC lately. You're not hearing a lot from Ilhan Omar. So the fringes of both parties, and I think there's a little more prominence on the Republican side lately, but certainly the fringes in both parties have been marginalized in the last month. I don't think it changes the overall political dynamic a whole lot. I think maybe Biden gets a small bounce for his work trying to build alliances successfully to take on Russia, to sanction them, to really punish them. But at the same time, things are not going well. I should say, seems like Ukraine is holding out quite extensively, quite effectively. But the images that you see on a daily basis are very harrowing, and it doesn't feel like we feel all that secure with Russia continuing to make threats of possibly even using chemical or nuclear weapons. So that is not advantageous to the party in power. So I think overall it's a political wash, but I do think there's a certain added seriousness to our politics and some of the Trumpier voices, some of the more extreme voices in both parties, but especially on the right, have been marginalized and probably won't be getting much political traction going forward.
What don't you think that we're talking about November of this year is when everybody gets to vote, and we have primaries, of course, starting relatively soon. That by the time we get to November, there almost surely will be some kind of resolution, don't you think? Or do you think the war will still be dragging on?
We have no. I mean, the fog of war is sort of the line I keep citing because there's not a lot of clarity on. It does seem on one hand that Ukraine has defied all expectations in holding off the Russian invasion, but they're doing so at a very massive human cost. And if it goes on into the fall, my goodness, that would be eight months of wrenching images and humanitarian disaster. On the other hand, we don't know what Russia's going to do. Like, I mean, if there's a diplomatic off-ramp, that might help the administration. Maybe we could negotiate something, and it would play to the White House's benefit. But a lot of things could go wrong, and we really don't know what Putin's endgame is and how this is really going to get resolved.
There's apparently a new book by two New York Times reporters. I have not read the book yet, but I've read the, quote, juicy excerpts that they are releasing. And it apparently focuses quite a bit of unflattering attention on the relationship between the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States, who just lost, her 10th senior staff member, and has not recovered herself with glory exactly in some of her travels and some of the portfolios that she was asked to manage for the administration. How does Biden handle that situation? Does he really want to send Kamala Harris out onto the hustings, campaigning all around the country for Democratic candidates in November?
This is an uncomfortable situation for the White House because, after all, Biden picked Vice President Harris that, when there were other alternatives that looked pretty good at the time. And she just, what was once the worst kept secret in Washington about Harris's ability to do the basics of the job, the blocking and tackling of the job, or just struggling to really, you know, do that stuff, Democrats were the ones whispering and gossiping about that, and now it's gone out in the open. The bigger challenge is if Biden doesn't run, decides that he's going to be 82 and doesn't run for a second term, Harris would normally be the heir apparent. I don't think she's scared off anyone in the Democratic side from challenging her, and could create something of a civil war in the Democratic Party if Biden decides not to run for a second term. So that is the bigger political implication of all this leaking and all this dissatisfaction, that there's a large vote of no confidence within the Democratic Party. If you secretly poll Democratic officials who have worked with Harris, who know her well, and that is going to precipitate an ugly divide within the party as we get closer and closer to 2024.
No, I think you're entirely correct on that. The one name that I hear who seems to be most eager to sort of thrust himself forward, and you saw that a little bit in the hearings, Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey. Anybody else who is an obvious interested party and potential candidate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can rule out two candidates that ran last time, and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren, who would be in her mid-70s, but probably still might want to take one more bite at the apple. But, you know, I like to look at the governorships. I think Democrats could use a fresh start in 2024, given the trajectory of this current administration. And, you know, I've written about Colorado Governor Jared Polis, who insists he's not going to run for president, but he's got a pretty nice record in a purple state that's really darn important for presidential politics.
Yeah, and I'm interested in the potential candidacy of Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, but she has to win her own term coming up. Josh Kroshauer, always a winner with his insight and his writing skill. Check out his column at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is glad no one died after a tornado hit part of North Texas.
When you look at the magnitude of the tornado that swept through Jack County and know that there are no fatalities, it is a miracle.
The Republican governor saying 80 homes were damaged or destroyed and two schools were hit by the twister, which struck a small town about 90 miles north of the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. NATO is inviting Ukraine's president to speak at this week's summit. President Biden will take part in the emergency meeting in Brussels, Belgium. News of the invitation comes as President Zelensky says he's ready to discuss a deal to end the Russian invasion of his country. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the city's private sector vaccine mandate will remain in place. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Michael Medved show, the questioning of Judge Jackson continues, and she is measured. I think that one of the things that will be very clear when this is over is that she's not a flaming off-the-reservation liberal activist. She's gone to some lengths to try to indicate that. And again, kudos to people like Senator Ben Sasse questioning her and Senator Charles Grassley, who's the ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee, going out of their way. And I think it's smart to be gracious and not to try to do a full frontal assault of Judge Jackson. One of the things that it does indicate, it seems to me, the double standard in media is there were people here who, on commentators on TV, on MSNBC, who during one of the breaks they were attacking the Republicans for asking about her role as one of the trustees and one of the leaders of the private school, Georgetown Academy, that her children went to, and the fact that that private school had included aspects of the critical race theory in some of the curricula. And she answered it by saying that we have nothing to do on the board with shaping the curriculum at the school. And she basically pleaded that she's never really been involved with critical race theory other than reading about it at Harvard Law School. And she's never cited an opinion. She's never been guided by it. Okay, fine. But the interesting thing here is that they were attacking the questioners for asking about details about her personal life. And I was recalling what had happened to my old constitutional law professor, Robert Bork, when he was nominated And the Democrats were outrageous. They actually took a look at his rental record of what videos he had rented to see if they could attack him for renting R-rated videos. Or to see if, and this is before that whole Clarence Thomas thing about allegedly discussing R-rated videos. No one had ever said anything like that about Judge Bork. And they, you may remember with Brett Kavanaugh, in fact, it might be useful to bring back the memories here because they're very much there. First of all, Fox News commentators remarked on the difference in treatment of this nominee. John Roberts over at Fox saw it this way. Listen, this is clip 14.
You stop for a moment and you see the exchanges that we have seen so far and the way the day has gone so far for this nominee. And you're reminded what, you know, Brett Kavanaugh went through, Amy Coney Barrett, and the stark difference in the way that the nominee is being questioned by, in this case, Republicans of the nominee.
Yeah, you do. And I think this is to their credit. And I think what they hope is that voters will notice the difference.
You know, there's no question that there is a huge difference in tone and tenor. She has not been asked even whether she drinks beer, let alone what beer she drinks.
And what that was a reference to was the questioning of Judge Kavanaugh that before he was confirmed for the Supreme Court, which was shameful, and I made it clear at the time, by Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who is one of my least favorite U.S. senators, I got to tell you, the senator from Rhode Island. And just listen to the toxic atmosphere that he introduces in this flashback, and knowing that it was very likely that Judge Kavanaugh would be confirmed. But here is Senator Whitehouse questioning Brett Kavanaugh some years ago. Listen, clip 23.
One of the reasons, Mr. Kavanaugh, that we are looking at the yearbook is that it is relatively consistent in time with the events at issue here. And because it appears to be your words, is it in fact your words on your yearbook page?
We submitted things to the editors, and I believe they took them. I don't know if they changed things or not, but
you're not aware of any changes. As far as you know,
I'm not aware one way. I'm not aware one way or the other, but I'm not going to sit here and contest that. To have at it, if you want to go through my yearbook.
Yeah, I'm actually interested.
Terrific. High school yearbook, and then here is another question with a shocking answer. Listen, clip 25, 24.
Dr. Ford has described you as being intoxicated at a party. Did you consume alcohol during your high school years?
Yes, we drank beer. My friends and I, the boys and girls, yes, we drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer. We drank beer. The drinking age, as I noted, was 18, so the seniors were legal. Senior year in high school, people were legal to drink. And we drank beer. And I said sometimes probably had too many beers, and sometimes other people had too many beers. We drank beer. We liked beer.
What do you consider to be too many beers?
I don't know.
Can you believe it? And then there was this response by Lindsey Graham, which I think helped secure his reelection shortly thereafter. But listen to Lindsey. This is clip 25.
This is hell.
This
is going to destroy the ability of good people to come forward because of this crap. Your high school yearbook. To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics. You want this seat? I hope you never get it. I hope you're on the Supreme Court. That's exactly where you should be. And I hope that the American people will see through this charade. And I wish you well. And I intend to vote for you. And I hope everybody who's fair-minded will.
And appreciate those sentiments by Lindsey Graham. And I appreciate the much more positive atmosphere that was started actually yesterday when she made her opening statement, Ketanji Brown Jackson. But here is the way she was welcomed by the ranking Republican concerning a reaction to her opening statement from yesterday by Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, the ranking Republican on the committee. This is clip 16.
Welcome again to our committee. I got home last night about 8 o'clock. The first thing I heard was my wife's opinion that you did very good in your opening statement.
Thank you.
She didn't have anything to say about my statement.
Actually welcoming her to this process and the idea that it's not going to be an inquisition and it is extremely likely that she will be confirmed. And most importantly for Republicans, it's not going to change anything about the composition or the direction or the balance on the court, where you will still have a 6-3 conservative Republican appointed advantage. We'll be right back on the MedVed Show.
You are speaking truth.
MedVed.
Your brilliance shining light onto this. Speaking your truth is nothing short of heroic.
Pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Michael Medved Show, a reminder that you have a chance at the cost of 22 cents a day. And it's really, it costs a little, but you learn a lot to have access to this show anytime you want it. It's easy to stream the show either live or either way, it's without commercial interruption. And so that's a real opportunity. And you also have the opportunity to then stream any and download any of the Medved History shows that are up there at MedvedHistoryStore.com. You can check it out. 22 cents a day, a remarkable price for a remarkable opportunity. We're going to be delving into, we're planning some, because of what's happening in the world, some Russian and Ukrainian history coming up that will be available for Medhead Plus members at no charge once you become a member. Okay, we were talking earlier with Josh Krauschauer of the National Journal about Kamala Harris and the dilemma that she has caused for the administration. There can be absolutely no doubt that in a way not seen since the unfair stereotypes that were put on Dan Quayle because of the media, and of course we know Dan Quayle, full disclosure, my wife co-authored a best-selling book, The American Family, with Vice President Quayle, and he didn't deserve the ridicule that he received. Mike Pence, I think, distinguished himself as a very fine and honorable and articulate vice president. When I say articulate vice president, you may remember early in his term, Vice President Pence went to Israel, delivered a speech to the Knesset, and I know from Knesset members who I have spoken to, they consider that one of the finest speeches from any visiting dignitary to the Israeli parliament. In any event, that you've had a whole series of vice presidents who build up fans, support, admirers, credibility. Kamala Harris, not so much. She has a singular lack of ability to communicate coherently. And it's shocking that she's gone as far as she has in politics with these problems. The most recent example is a viral clip about the passage of time. And just listening to her, you can feel the time passing, and not for anyone's benefit. This is Vice President Harris and her profound thoughts on the passage of time. Clip one.
The governor and I, and we were all
doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
And what was she saying exactly? And these were within the last month some of Kamala's greatest hits, a series of speeches that will live forever, or maybe for another couple of weeks. This is clip three.
As we all know, elections matter. And when folks vote, they order what they want. And in this case, they got what they asked for.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day, it is time for us to agree.
I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank and our NATO allies.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically that's wrong.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe. And I don't know.
We must together work together to see where we are, where we are headed, where we are going, and our vision for where we should be, but also see it as a moment, yes, to together address the challenges.
Imagine a future. Well, you all imagined it. We have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
As it relates to what we need to do domestically as well as what we need to do in terms of this issue generally, we have, as the president said, reevaluated what we're doing.
Based on what we've just been able to see, and because we've seen it or not doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but just limit it to what we have seen. Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
You know what? There is at least a theory going around out there by some of the administration's stalwart defenders that this is part of a strategy. I'm serious. To make the president look better. Because there are so many attacks on the president about his cognitive ability and stumbles and gaffes. But most of the time, he actually does appear to be trying to communicate something. And this is, people use the term word salad. It is almost as if they are saying words. You know, they say that parrots, for instance, don't really understand the words that they are saying. And then there's some more research that say particularly African greys, that kind of parrot, they're very, very clever, and they can understand some of what they're saying. But the passage of time really shows me that with the passage of time, it becomes more and more clear that she's not going anywhere. This is... It's problematic. And look, we are, despite the vice president's mishaps, we remain a great country. So why aren't we the happiest country in the world? And what's interesting about this is there's key findings of the World Happiness Report, which is a publication of the UN Sustainable Development Solutions Network that draws on global survey data from people in about 150 countries. And one of the things that they measure here is community engagement. Donating to charity. How likely are people to donate to charity to help a stranger? And volunteering. And all of these factors are up in the 140 countries. They're all across the world. Partially because of the pandemic. And people in most places, at least, feeling that that the pandemic has brought people together and made them more willing to make some sacrifices, consideration for others. What's fascinating to me in this list of the world's happiest countries 2022 edition has not been the domination of that list by Scandinavian and Northern European countries. Okay, fine. It's within the top 10, there was kind of a surprise. For the fifth year in a row, Finland is supposed to be the happiest country in the world, which, by the way, is a reflection, a rebuttal to something that my wife believes. Sorry, Diane. But she believes that weather is a great source of happiness. Now, if that were the case, people living in Hawaii, for instance, would be the happiest people around. Or maybe you could take people living in Tahiti, which is or Fiji is a separate nation. They're not. They're not even close. The happiest countries in the world, according to this story, with its uptick in benevolence that they found, are in order: Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Switzerland, the Netherlands, and the United States doesn't come up till number 16. But then Netherlands, Luxembourg, Sweden, Norway, Israel, number 9, and New Zealand. What's fascinating about that, they're all relatively small countries, below 10 million in population. And only when you get to number 14, Germany, number 15, Canada, number 16, the United States, number 17, United Kingdom, then you see happiness spreading, even to include this greatest nation on God's green earth.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. I don't believe God intended for us to be old and sick. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the immune system. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking a healthy immune system. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. Bring your body back to balance. Order now and receive free shipping and a free bottle of my Swooskin.
Get your body back in balance with Balance7.com. Your energy level will go up, joint discomfort will be reduced, and heartburn no longer a problem. And now go to support at Balance7.com and get a free 5-day supply of Balance 7 while supplies last. A free 5-day supply of Balance 7. Go to support at Balance7.com or call 805-474-0558. 805-474-0558. 805-474-0558.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.